Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, and we'll read the passage from verse 9 to 11 about fathers giving to their children. Matthew 7, 9 to 11. Jesus asks, you can just see him sort of beckoning as he asks to the crowd around him. He says, "So which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now we're coming up to the season of giving. I've got a feeling I might just mention the C word tonight, first time possibly this year. It's looming close, and because of the amount of things that have to be done in the next couple of weeks, I've been thinking about Christmas for a few weeks, trying to prepare ahead so that in the last week I won't be overwhelmed with preparation and things to do. In the last week we are hoping to look at applications as well for Dave's job. If we get a few applications in to look at, we'll be hoping. So do pray about that. Please do pray about that. I had some fun in the primary schools in Kyle and Plockton this week, doing an assembly with the children about giving, because it's probably the time when we're thinking if we're going to give to our loved ones gifts, we've got to think about what we're going to give them. And unless you're one of those people who bought all your Christmas presents for this year in the sales in January, then you're probably at this moment scratching your head and looking on Amazon or looking in the chemist. Yes, Malcolm, looking in the chemist shop. And, of course, you don't own it anymore, but I'm sure that's where you still do all your shopping, Malcolm. Janet, yes, I've got to remember Janet too. We have to support our local businesses, but I'm sure we're all busy trying to think, what on earth am I going to give to all these people in our lives that don't really need anything particularly? And I suggested 7 things to the primary school kids that would help them, and they were all based on the way that God gives gifts. I said, give good gifts. Give gifts that people need. Give them what will make them happy. Make giving an event. Don't just give them a gift, but make it interesting. Give in love, not grumbling and complaining or whatever. Give the best you can, and give what lasts. So these were the simple points, and we developed them all with the children, and we had a bit of fun, and well, I always enjoy doing these assemblies as well. The children are always a treat. In any case, it's led me to think more about giving, and as I was preparing for these assemblies, I was thinking, well, God really is the greatest of all givers. I thought it'd be good to reflect on God's giving tonight, because if you are looking for present inspiration, then maybe looking at the way God gives could be the greatest inspiration of all. So we're going to take a few points out of these verses 9 to 11 in Matthew chapter 7. And I hope we can just revel in this message and delight in it. Because, well, let's start at verse 11. It says that if we know how to give good gifts to our children, even though we are evil, says Jesus, how much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, the first thing about God's giving is that it is equal to our asking. God is able to give according to our asking. God is not limited in his giving. And he's not going to find that our asking is asking too much or asking what exhausts his resources or exhausts his willingness to give or his generosity. Our asking can never exhaust God's giving. We have a God, we have a Father tonight as we worship him, huddling together, aware of the cold outside and just trying to keep functioning in this wintry weather. We have a Father we can come to who has a largesse that is beyond our asking. God's giving is able to exceed our asking. How much more is our Father in heaven able to give good gifts? How much more than us? How much more he is able to give than we could even ask? God is able to give things, and God does give things tonight that we don't even think to ask for. I don't know how many of you today have prayed that God would give you, for example, your life or the breath in your lungs. Isaiah 42 tells us that he is a God who gives breath to the people of the earth and life to those who walk in it. So today, even the very basic thing of us being alive today is a gift from God. And there are lots of passages like that. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul says that God gives life to everything and richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So if anything has given you enjoyment today, if anything has given you righteous enjoyment today, then it was a gift from God. And he is the God who gives, he gives life to everything. He gives us life and breath in all things. He gives us, another passage of Paul, all that we need for life and godliness. You can't deny that these are things that we need, but we can also recognize it. We probably haven't asked God. I haven't asked God today, please God, can you give me water in the tap today? Or please God, can you give me sufficient warmth in my body so that I don't freeze to death or whatever. And all these very basic, essential things that we're not even asking for, God is giving. He's giving beyond what we ask for. He's giving much more than we ask for all the time. But another thing that I think comes out of this passage is that God gives, but he never pays. Like, our God is not a God from whom you can earn anything. Our God is not a God that does deals with us. When God gives, he gives freely. He gives generously. Paul in Romans 11 says, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? This is really the essential content of the gospel. The gospel is that we can't pay. The gospel is that we can't earn. The gospel is that we need a free gift. The gospel is grace. So when God gives when we ask for things, when God gives when we don't ask for things, he's not giving because we have deserved it. He's not giving because we have paid for it, or because we have built up enough credit in our account of good deeds to merit it. He's giving because he is gracious, because that is how he deals with us. He deals with us in free generosity of giving. That's a beautiful paradigm for us as we think about Christmas too. Another thing is that God only gives good things. It says that in verse 11, your Father will give good gifts to those that ask Him. He's not going to give us that stone or that snake, or in Luke's Gospel, that scorpion. He's not going to give us that. He's going to always and only give good things. So James, in the first chapter of James, writes that, and I quoted to the children in the primary school from the Good News Bible, because it was a very Christmassy translation of this verse. He says, every good gift and every perfect present, he says, comes from heaven. It comes down from God. And that really is a sum up of God's giving. Tonight we deal with a God who gives good gifts and perfect presents. And that's all. Nothing comes from God that isn't good. Nothing comes from God that isn't perfect. So He's always going to give us what's good for us. He's always going to give us better than. We as parents know how to give our children. And we are going to give good gifts to our children, as Jesus says in verse 11. Well, how much more is God going to give good gifts? He's always and only and entirely and exceptionally going to give good gifts to us. And He's always going to give us the things that we need. In other words, He never spoils us. We might spoil our children or our grandchildren, and that's a troublesome thing for the children and for the grandchildren, because it damages them, it damages their character, maybe damages them in other ways. But God doesn't do that. God never spoils us. God gives us not what we want, not what we nag at Him for. He gives us what we need. And so Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, in the previous chapter, and again, the Good News Bible puts it like this: give us today the food that we need. Give us today the food that we need. We ask God best when we ask Him, not for what we want, but for what we need. So God only gives good things. But then, that is because He gives us a Father. It's the next thing. He gives us a Father. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts? He gives us a Father. Now, our experience of human fathers varies. In this room tonight, there are various different reminiscences that we have about our earthly fathers. Some of them are very good and some of them are mixed. But God, as a Father, is a different kind of Father. He is a good Father, and He is only a good Father. And He is a good Father because He is the very definition of what fatherhood is. Fatherhood is not a human idea which we then used as a way to help us think about God. Father is God and His essence, and He has made us in His image, and made fathers in His image as a father. But God is the original Father, and He is the best Father. So God will always give us the best, because He's a Father. Remember Romans 8:32, God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And how will He not with Him freely give us all things? God gave us the best. He even gave us His own Son. And He gives in love. And that's another great gospel verse, John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. God gives us a Father. Tonight, your Father in heaven is the best Father. He gives what's best, and He gives in love. And so we'll find that He's not just a God who responds to us, although that's what Jesus is focusing on here, on our asking and knocking and seeking. But He's a God who's thinking about what is best for us, even when we're not, or when we don't understand or know what is best. He is preparing and He is giving gifts before we ask. So we tonight are in a position that already God has made complete provision for you and for me, for this world and for our salvation, before we ever even came along. We were born into a world where, for example, the Word of God is already present. It's present in our own contemporary language for us to use and handle. God has already given that gift for our benefit before we ever came along. We've got this. But also the Word became flesh in His Son Jesus, and He has given us His Son. We were born into a world where Jesus has already been, and where all that's needed for our salvation has already taken place. So this Father, this good Father, is not waiting to see how we get on before He thinks of something to do to help us. This Father has already prepared for us. And we sang in Ephesians 1 that His preparation goes back to before the creation of the world. Even before He created the world, He foresaw that there would be the need that we have tonight, that unless God gives us a Savior, Jesus, then we are not going to be able to have eternal life and to come into His presence. So tonight we have a Father who gives us a Father the best in love, even before we think of what we need. I'd like to dwell a little bit more on what we can ask our Father in heaven for. If God is a Father, what can we ask for? What can we ask for this Christmas and all other times of the year? We can ask our Father for salvation. For a comprehensive package of rescue for our lives that is able to take us from where we are tonight, whatever we think of ourselves and how poorly we feel we're placed before God and how we're disappointed we are in ourselves, however far short we feel we come of our own standards, let alone God's, God is able, us, our Father, our Heavenly Father, to give us a comprehensive package of salvation that will completely deliver us into His eternal presence. He is able, because Christ died, as Peter writes, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you, where you are tonight, to God, where He is and who He is tonight. So that means He gives grace. God opposes the proud, says James, but gives grace to the humble. We come tonight knowing that we need salvation. We come to a God who is able to give grace to us. He's able to give us what we could never earn and what we don't deserve, but what we need. He's able to give us salvation as a gift. Remember that salvation is a gift. Don't ever lose sight of that. Remember Ephesians 2. By grace we are saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. So tonight, receive the gift of God. Receive the salvation of God tonight. Receive the free gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So with salvation comes Jesus and what He has done for us, and comes the fruit of that, which is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. With that comes righteousness. It's another gift the New Testament speaks of in Romans 5, God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Tonight you have everything you need to bring you to God. But you're not going to God as a passenger. You're not going to God as a spectator of your own salvation. You are going to God as someone who wants to take part in the salvation, who wants to work out your salvation, who wants to be involved in the process of getting from where you are tonight to the presence of God. So God gives things for that as well. God gives understanding. God wants us not just to be sort of like someone on a great cruise liner who has no idea how the boat floats or how the boat is propelled or how it works, but is just happy to go along for the ride. God is not wanting us to be like that. God wants us to know what's happening. He wants us to understand our salvation. So understanding is important. He wants us to be able to understand it, because if you can understand it, you can enter into a relish and a delight in it. You can praise God. You can thank Him. You can take comfort from it. You can take encouragement from the salvation and live a life that is a life of peace and a life of joy. So God gives us 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's able to give us the knowledge of His glory, and He wants to give it to us. Something He wants us to have, He wants us to receive from Him. So that we're not ignorant people who are just on a journey hoping that God knows what He's doing, but that we're actually confident that He does know what He's doing, and that we begin to see what He's doing too, and are able to participate in it. He gives us understanding, He gives us wisdom, which is close by it as well. James 1 verse 5 promises that. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. That's a gift. God promises wisdom. If you need that wisdom to know how to live for Him in this world. And then there's power. And I'm just going to close with that actually. God's power. Because not only does God want us to know salvation and want us to understand what's going on, He wants us to live with present victory, with present experience of His deliverance in our lives, so that we change, we transform, we progress. So principally, the gift of God for this is what we read in Luke chapter 11, very similar passage to this, where Luke says that if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? It's a wonderful promise of Jesus, that the Spirit is seen as a gift. This is a gift that God is willing to give, not only as a beginner's welcome gift, if you like, for those who become Christians, but as an ongoing gift for those who would grow as Christians, the power of the Spirit in our lives. And so the Spirit is promised when we become Christians on the day of Pentecost. You know, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Peter says, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's part and package of what we get as Christians. But it's an ongoing thing. We can keep on asking for more power to live in the enjoyment and in the victory of our salvation. And with the Spirit comes fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. I spoke a wee bit about that this morning, the fruit of the Spirit. With the Spirit comes fruit, and the fruit of the Spirit is something that we have to cooperate in. We have to choose the love and the joy and the peace and the patience, and know the Spirit's empowering us as we make those choices. And also, with the Spirit comes gifts. And the Spirit raises people up to levels that they can't naturally achieve. So in Romans 12, for example, Paul says we have different gifts. He doesn't say some people have gifts if they're Christians, some Christians have gifts. He doesn't say that. It says, you have all got gifts as Christians. And we have different gifts according to the grace given us. There's the giving bit again. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. These are gifts of the Spirit of God. Gifts that different ones of you here have in different measures. And some of you maybe don't really know that you have those gifts. But as you seek to develop as Christians and put yourselves in challenging situations, you can discover that you are able to do things that you didn't think you could do, because the Holy Spirit gives you that power. We have power from the Holy Spirit. A couple more things just to mention then, as part of the Father's gifts of power for the church, is endurance and encouragement. That's Romans 15:5. He is the God who gives endurance and encouragement. If I come to God in my life and reading his word and in prayer and in fellowship with others, then he gives me things. He gives me encouragement. He helps me to endure. And finally, the gift of victory. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory. He gives the gift of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are here tonight in the presence of a God who gives. A God who gives good gifts. A God who gives perfect presence. A God who loves and delights in giving. Who's not going to give us what harms us. He's not going to give us what spoils us. He's going to give us what we need. But he's also able to give exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or imagine. And his gifts are sufficient that he is going to transform us from our lowly existence at present to the glorious and eternal existence that we look forward to in the future. And all the way along, he will shower us with gifts every day of the year, every year of our lives, and every moment of eternity. The God who gives. Well, that really does make what I might find under the Christmas tree in a couple of weeks' time look pretty paltry and pretty disappointing. God's presence are not under the Christmas tree. God's presence are under the heavens. God's presence are in our lives every day for our asking. And as James says when he speaks about the gift of wisdom, when we ask, let's not doubt, but let's ask in faith before a God whom we can just delight in. And you know, when you come into God's presence thinking about what we've been studying tonight, maybe just spend some time, before you ask for anything, just spend some time going over these things and praising him and thanking him for the way that he loves to give. And these presents that God is going to give us in the days ahead and into eternity, some of them just go beyond what we can understand now, because our eyes have not seen and our ears have not heard, hasn't entered into our hearts what God has prepared for those who love him. So thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts. Thanks be to God for the marvel and wonder and sufficiency and prodigality of God's giving tonight. And may we all be inspired in our own giving in response to God's giving to us. But may we also be inspired in our asking. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. We ask a giving God. a God who loves to give good gifts to his children. Hallelujah.